The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. And of course, you can watch us every day on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It is Football Friday. We're packed. We'll get into Commanders Falcons with Scott Abraham from ABC7 coming up at 9. Make our picks coming up at 9:20. But we're going to get back into some college hoops. Georgetown off to a really nice start this season. Their head coach, Ed Cooley, in his second season here at Georgetown, joins us right now. What's going on, Coach?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How's it going?
Good morning,
Doing well.
Coach.
You know, before we dive into your season, kind of want to reflect on the Larrañaga decision. So we knew Larrañaga back when he was at Mason because we worked in Fairfax, yeah. And he used to come in studio with us. Really good guy, and he talked about it yesterday, your perspective, that he lost 8 guys to the portal after they were in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the landscape we're in, and it's not perfect. We have to find a solution for this. Again, here we have 14 new players on my roster this year.
Wow. That's crazy.
14. And that's what we coaches and ADs and presidents are dealing with. I had an opportunity to talk to Dave Green, our COO, the other day, just about the ever-changing landscape of this. And we either lean into it or we're going to get lost because it's not changing, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we have the mindset to try to help our young men still understand the value of education? Yes, money is a big part of people's decision, but is it keeping the main thing the main thing? And I wish I had an answer, but I can see the frustration. I deal with the frustration. The same thing, a Jay Wright, a Tony Bennett, you know, Coach K, Roy Williams.
Yep.
What do we do about it? And Coach Larrañaga was and is one of the better people I've met in our business, and the business lost another really, really good coach.
I'm sure there's a list of things, Coach, that you think should change, but what's the number one thing that needs to change about the portal, in your opinion?
There has to be some guardrails around it, right? I mean, what we're doing right now isn't real life, mm-hmm. right? This isn't real life business, you know. So I think there has to be some guardrails on it. The NCAA has to figure it out. The federal government has to figure it out. The colleges have to figure it out. There has to be some sort of something in place that controls or attempts to control just the wildlife that this is, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of bring back some normalcy to the sport.
What does this new revenue sharing plan that they're going to switch into, as opposed to just the collectives, where you basically have a salary cap? I think it's $22 million, something like that, per school. Is that going to make things better for teams like Georgetown or schools like Georgetown?
I think it will. I mean, the one thing the Big East has is it's a basketball centric conference, and we don't have to deal with the juggernaut of football.
Right. Right.
So that's another 85 student athletes that the president athletic directors don't have to worry about. So I think it could be a positive for the Big East. I think it'd be a positive for Georgetown. We just got to figure it out, not so much just from the revenue share for men's basketball, but for all of college sport, you know. And then you have the Title IX piece to it, the equity part piece to it. This is just a large, large landscape that's continuing to move.
Right.
So you guys are off to a 10-2 start, 2-0 in the Big East, and you just mentioned how you have all these new players, and we can talk about some of the transfers, but you got a special freshman in Thomas Sorber. Talk about his game and what he's brought to the program.
Well, one of the more unique personalities we've coached. You know, he's an energy giver. He's one of these men that don't have a bad day, right? The minute he walks in the gym, he puts his arm around his teammates. You know, he loves music. He's an inspiration to be around. And, you know, Jeff Battle, who was the lead recruiter for him coming out of Philadelphia, said, "Coach, I think we got something in this kid. Let's go take a look at him." And he just continues to improve. What an energy giver. I mean, one of the best energy givers I've been around.
Yeah. He had 19-8 in that, you know, win over Seton Hall. He's a big kid, too. Was he 6'10", 6'11"?
He's about 6'10", yeah. Right, about 260.
A big kid.
You know, I think the DMV has a couple of really special freshmen. You have a kid over at Maryland doing a really, really good job for Coach Willard. Those two kids have a really, really bright future in this game.
So you mentioned the fact that you had 14 new players. How much of a challenge was it, since you had so many new guys, to try and introduce the chemistry to start the year? And then I know you started off with a couple wins, then you lost to Notre Dame. But was it difficult? Was it a challenge to have all these guys just learning a new system to get the chemistry right with such a new roster?
It's a challenge, but that challenge is I embrace it. We embrace it as an organization. Get to know the people first versus their skill set. Mm-hmm. Put them in position of their own skill set, but ask them every day, how are they doing? What do you like? What don't you like? How do you like to be coached? We do a great evaluation of each student athlete with a profile, personality profile, with a gentleman named Chad Brown, and that really helps us help them. How they learn, the way they listen to, what are their values, what do they want to become, where they at, where they going. Those personality tests really help us as an organization balance each player as an individual to collectively come together as a unit. We use a lot of terms like, you know, we, never me, 17 all in, because we have 17 players, four of which are walk-ons. So it's a challenge, but it's also fun because you see the different personalities, and when it does come together as we're starting to, the cohesive unit is just fun to be around.
Talking to Coach Ed Cooley, second season at Georgetown. They're off to a 10-2 start, 2-0 in the Big East. And you mentioned education being a big part, and Georgetown's a great school. But I remember Jason in particular last year, whenever it happened, when Malik Mack decided to leave Harvard, Jason was like, "I can't believe a Harvard kid is leaving for Georgetown." And it's a great...
Not like Georgetown's a bad school.
But he's an Oxon Hill kid, too.
No,
so he's
no,
a local.
It's not a bad school. My daughter's a graduate of it, and I know exactly what we paid to send to here.
How much is it? Because my kid's his senior.
Yeah.
You know, it's keep working, brother.
Keep working. Keep getting the income.
Keep getting the income. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
But talk about Mac's decision to leave Harvard and come join you guys, and then talk about his impact on your team so far.
Well, the impact of Mac, I love that. I'm going to steal that one from you today. It is, obviously, leaving Harvard, you're only going to go to X amount of schools in the country, and we feel Georgetown is right there from an academic standpoint where he doesn't take, quote-unquote, a step back, right? And again, when you look at the landscape of NIL and an opportunity to earn as well as get a quality education, you know, his family had to make a tough decision.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when myself and LaDante Hinton went up there to sit down and talk to him, and I talked to Coach Amaker. Amaker said, "I won't let this kid leave unless he chooses one or two schools that, you know, when he's done with basketball, he has this background to fall back on." And I feel his impact on the team is getting better and better. He's coming off an injury. Hopefully he's ready to play on Saturday. But he's just another person who is, he can do it three different levels. He can score it, pass it, right, becoming a better defender. We love him. We love him, and he's been so impactful to our program. And he and I go back and forth against Sauber as well. Off topic, big Commanders fan. Big Commanders fan.
Oh, I bet.
What do you think about Sunday night?
Oh, I'm juiced for it. I can't wait. I'm excited about it. You know, when you look at culture change, when you look at trying to flip an organization, what Coach Quinn has done with his team and his staff and, you know, and the administration there, you got to give them a lot of credit. Like the joy and energy that they're bringing to the district is amazing, and I'm grateful for it because I can feel the energy everywhere we go.
So, Coach, JP mentioned you got a couple conference wins here early. Man, conference play starts so early. December 18th, I think, is when you guys played Creighton. But you went up to Jersey. You beat Seton Hall. Never an easy place to play. You guys were up 11 with, 4 minutes to go. And then they made
actually 351. It was 351. You know,
351.
Yeah, he hit a three from the corner. And then, oh, man, the building almost collapsed.
Right. What? Talk about the ending of that game when they went on a 10-0 run. I know that you guys had some turnovers, some missed free throws. But talk about holding on to win up in Seton Hall.
Well, Malik Mack didn't play. Mm-hmm. Jaden Epps goes down with a contusion on his leg. He couldn't play. Peavy fouled out. So, now we're piecemealing it, right? I mean, those are our three primary ball handlers. I think Curtis Williams came in and made a big, big, big three. Mm-hmm. Again, you just never know an opportunity knocks. And at the end of the game, we had a walk-on. We had two freshmen and two sophomores on the floor.
Wow.
And, you know, they're in the heat of the battle. So, we didn't finish the way we wanted to, but we found a way to land the plane, right? We found a way to win the game. Everybody's always, when we're flying, man, it's turbulent up here. Man, we're jumping around. Oh, man, I hope this thing gets down. We landed the plane, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We got it down, wheels on the ground. Everybody's clapping. Everybody's smiling. Whoo! You know, the thing that Seton Hall does a great job of is they're very disruptive defensively. Right. Very, very, very physical. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, they're limited in some of the ways they score, but they're always in the game because they guard the hell out of you. And we were fortunate to walk away with a win. Anytime you get a road win, man, you get out of there before they take it back.
You take those conference roadies. Right. I didn't realize your top three ball handlers were out of the game at the end. Wow.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, Nomac, I think S went down with about 8 minutes and then PV fouled out with about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was. I'm looking down at the bench. I'm looking at the coaches. I'm like, I don't know if we put Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles in, but we got to put somebody in there. Right? I don't know who the hell we put in the game.
That's funny.
So you got Coppin State on Saturday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
And kind of during this time period, you get geared up because then it's going to be Big East, Big East, Big East after that.
Sure.
Yeah, you got Marquette and UConn early in January.
How do you kind of look at this stretch? Yeah. Heading into when it gets heavy, Big East play?
I think it's critical. I mean, I think right out the gate, you know, we play Coppin and hopefully we can play well, continue to improve and, you know, get us another home win. And then, you have Marquette, who I think is, you know, will have a chance to go to a Final Four. And then you follow that up. I mean, you got Xavier first, then Marquette, then Connecticut, then St. John's. And right now, on paper, they're the four best teams in our league.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely going to be a challenge, two at home, two on the road. We're asking, you know, we have to do a better job here, continue to gain the trust of the DMV area. We have to try to create a home court advantage, which I haven't had as the head coach here, with our students, our supporters, all our alum that are in the area. We just need Capital One to start turning over to create that buzz, to create that excitement, to try to give us a chance when we do play these high level games. Because again, when you go on the road here in the Big East, you're down 7 to 8 getting off the bus or getting off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just on energy and excitement, and hopefully little by little that'll start to change at Capital One.
Hey, I wanted to ask you something. I saw on Wikipedia, and it could be wrong, that it said that you used to go to church with Dan Hurley. All right. Have you been watching some of these Dan Hurley screaming hot? Like, what's going on, man? The guy's won a couple of national championships. It looks like he's losing it.
That's his personality, man. That's just the way he is.
Well, you know, when I lived in Rhode Island, he and Andrea lived about a 7-iron away from Maurice and I.
Hmm.
And they went to church and worked out. I think if Danny and I walked into a church, you know, it would start shaking. You know, the building would start shaking. Right. You know, the ground would start cracking. Danny is very, very possessed. Mm-hmm. He has a drive and a tactic that works for him, mm-hmm. right? I do not fault anything he does. He's a winner. I mean, he came from high school to up the coaching ranks. You got to give that guy all the credit in the world with his staff on how he built his own identity in the shadow of his dad and his brother. So there's probably an edge there that is internal that a lot of people just wouldn't understand. They're looking at what the external things are with him and his sideline demeanor. Mm-hmm. That's not him as a person, right? I mean, if we're judged by how we work and what we do at work, I don't know if that's fair. But at the end of the day, he's done a hell of a job. He has a hell of a team, mm-hmm. right? Hell of a team. And, I mean, he'll probably end up in a Hall of Fame with his dad.
You know, when he was talking to the Lakers in the offseason after after he won the national championship, I was kind of surprised, but kind of like what we're talking about now, Coach. I figured he was just done with the NIL stuff and the portal, and the game has changed so much and the system has changed so much in college that he just wanted something different. And he flies out there and he's talking to those guys. He's talking to the Lakers front office. And I don't know what the discussions were, but he decides, you know what, it's not for me. I'm going back to UConn, gets another contract. When you heard that he was going out there and talking to them, was that surprising to you?
No.
No.
It's a lot of money offered.
Yeah.
Right. And again, we tell our players this, if you chase money, you miss the opportunity. If you chase opportunity, you surpass money. Hmm. And I think he knows who he is. 82 game stretch in the NBA I think college is more of a coaches league, coaches run organization. The NBA is a players led organization. And then you got to deal just with stuff you're not accustomed to. So would it take them a year or two to get used to being a NBA coach? Because the NBA game is basically a different game than college, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a totally different lifestyle. Living in Los Angeles, did he want to move his family out there? He made the right decision for himself, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know if money was the driving factor as it was just it was different.
Right.
Right. You know, all of us look, hey, you know, should we do something different? How would it be to do this? How would it be to do that? So I think in the end, for him to go out there and sit and talk to him, obviously he was very, very interested. But at the end of the day, he probably had a heart-to-heart with his bride and said, you know, let's stay here, do what we're doing, continue to do what we're doing. Let's chase a three-peat, which hasn't been done since, I think, Wooden, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good for him and his family, though, right? It's always good to be wanted. It's always good to have decisions in your own hand and, you know, never know what could happen in the future with him. Never know. He's a good person, though, and we're glad that UConn is in the Big East.
Well, Coach, we want to have you on the show more frequently, to use your word wanted. You're wanted to join us a little more frequently. Mm-hmm. Just two wins in the Big East last year. You're already off to the 2-0 start this year. Congrats on the early season turnaround. Keep it going, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Looking forward to coming back on again. I hope you guys have an incredible 2025 year. And anytime you guys want me on, just give us a call. We appreciate it.
Very cool.
You got it. See you, Coach.
Coach Ed Cooley. Second season at Georgetown.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, well, he inherited a tough situation because Patrick took over the program and, you know, I think he got him to the tournament once and it just crumbled. Ugly.
Yeah, it got really
ugly. At the end for Patrick Ewing. And Cooley, of course, had a lot of success at Providence, taking the team to tournament constantly, Sweet 16s and that sort of thing. But that's still a tough turnaround. But man, 14 new players.
I mean, I can't imagine.
And that's kind of how it is everywhere.
And I didn't want to ask him on the air because it kind of puts him in a bad spot. But this kid, this freshman, Sorber, Thomas Sorber, if he's like a stud, which he looks like he is, he's 6'10", 260.
Averaging almost nearly a double-double. It's like 16-8 guy right now.
Yeah. I mean, what if one of these Power 4, Power 5 conference schools say, come on out, Kansas, and says, you know what, we'll give you $2 million. He's got to deal with that. You got to try and convince him to stay. And I don't know if he can convince guys like that, but we'll see.
got to get your Georgetown alums to throw in some cash.
That's true.
Get that collective to grow. It's just a totally different game. Remember, we got Scott Abraham coming up at 9 o'clock as we'll get into Commanders Falcons. Next, we'll go around the league with the Junkies Blitz. You got three games tomorrow, more games on Sunday. Don't go anywhere.